Well, hello everybody. You are listening to Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM 97.7. And my name is Michael, and it is a new year. But unfortunately, I am all alone this time. Kevin is not joining me, but that's okay because I have a very special guest who's joining me to kick off the program for this year. A good friend of mine calling in all the way from Japan is my friend Will Smith. Will, thanks for joining us this evening.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
It should be good. A good discussion today with Will. He's going to talk about just how he became a Christian and what the state of the church is like in Japan. But first, as always, we want to start with a song. And for three of the songs, Will has picked them out. And since I don't speak Japanese, I'm going to let him tell us what the first song is and maybe what the translation might be in English.
So the first song is called Hanamo. And it basically can translate to the flowers too. And as you listen to the song, the singers are actually, a choir is actually going to be saying some things like the flowers too, and the clouds too, and the birds too. And it's all about all of these things in nature praising God.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. All right, well, we'll listen to this first song and then we'll come back right after this.
Oh,
All right, I am joined by my friend Will calling in from Japan. I met Will when I moved to Owensboro, man, back in like 2008. It's been 10 years, believe it or not. That's crazy. But Will, can you start us off just telling us, how did you become a Christian?
Yeah, well, from a young age, I was exposed to the Gospels and like Old Testament narrative stories since I was a child in Sunday school. And we had a local church that the bus would come around the neighborhood and pick me up in the trailer park. And I would just go every Sunday and listen to stories and do activities. And that was probably when I was around grade school. But actually, when the church moved around the time I was in middle school, my family pretty much couldn't go anymore. We stopped going. It went to a different location. And so for years, I had those stories, and sometimes I would even watch like Christian cartoons or programs on TV. I remember like Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort, The Way of the Master.
Right. Yeah.
But I never really read the Bible much. And my parents weren't involved in a church. And so there was like some tradition in the home. You know, we would sometimes pray, or talk about things, but it wasn't a, Christian living, like a lifestyle with Christ. And so, you know, I would pray myself, and I had a serious fear of hell and my sin, actually. But I knew something as I was getting older throughout middle school and up to high school is that I just couldn't stop myself from sinning. So I would feel bad for things, but, you know, I couldn't actually stop. So I never really repented. I just began growing up into a lifestyle of sin that I became somewhat comfortable with, but also I knew it was wrong. And so in high school, actually, my family and I, all of us, we became homeless for maybe the second or third time. We had a lot of financial troubles. And we were homeless for about a year and a half. And then God, through some friendships, provided an apartment for us in my senior year. And then in that year, funny thing, I actually joined a death metal band because it was my dream actually to play, you know, heavy metal music and travel the world. Right. That was, you know, I was a young and rebellious kind of kid that was really into metal music. And so I wasn't a Christian at that time yet, but I would actually call myself a Christian, actually, at that time. I thought I was. I guess that was normal. But at the time, I was really filled with a lot of darkness, to be honest. I did listen to a lot of evil bands. It's not like I had a bunch of Christian heavy metal bands, but I had a lot of really evil. Even some of them were blatantly satanic, to be honest. I was really angry with my life. But I also, I had a girlfriend that I really loved, and we started dating in my the last semester of my senior year, and it's significant because we both moved together to Kentucky. I'm from Illinois, but we moved to Kentucky together because her parents were living there, and that was a really God behind the scenes, bringing me into where He was going to draw near to me and save me. So, in the autumn of 2012, actually, I moved there in the summer of 2012. So, just a few months after we moved, I was just at the point of constantly feeling convicted. You know, it's like Psalm 32, where David says, you know, I was groaning because your hand was heavy upon me, and but I confessed my sin to you. So my eyes, this might sound a little poetic, but just for listeners, I just want them to get the picture here. My eyes were full of porn. My head was full of pride. And my ears were full of hateful lyrics, and my heart was full of sin. And I knew it. I knew I'd been living in a sinful lifestyle and in rebellion towards God. So, but I began asking myself a serious question. I said, if I'm a Christian, is this what a Christian is supposed to live like? So I really was, in my mind, I was really struggling, to be honest, with still feeling really close with Christian faith, but I was living this totally opposite lifestyle. And so there was a contradiction, and it was clear to me. Praise God, it was clear. And one day, a funny thing was, I saw a picture online of the gravestone of Leonard Ravenhill. I don't know if you know about him or not, no. But he was a preacher and evangelist from England who had come to the United States. He actually died in 1994, is with the Lord now. But if you look at his gravestone, I happened to come across this picture when I was going through this season in my life. And his gravestone says, "Are the things that you are living for worth Christ dying for?" And so I just pondered that, and it like stained my mind for a while. And I really began asking myself, am I really a Christian? Is that true of me? Is what I'm living for worth Christ dying for? Because I thought I believed that. And so I basically started reading the scriptures. I was praying, confessing my sin to God. I believe I was born again, and I began to repent of my lifestyle, and I was seeking to obey and love Jesus Christ, my Lord. So that's the story.
What year was that? Do you say that you became a Christian at that moment?
I really think that was 2012, around the fall, late summer, beginning. Middle of September, October. It was kind of a season where that was just
so did
heavy
you enter
on me.
College at that time, or were you still in high school?
No, I had finished high school in 2011, and I didn't go to college. I was rebellious at that time, and I just was trying to make it big with my metal band, and but I eventually quit and then moved with my girlfriend to Kentucky.
Okay.
And just I wasn't really doing much, actually. I don't even know. I had a job, but I was pretty much wasting my life at that time. And then God saved me.
So it must have been, it wasn't 2008, then that's when I first moved to Owensboro. I moved away and then came back in 2012. So that must have been, when we met, was in 2012 when I came back to Owensboro.
Yeah, because I started going to Heritage, the same church that we met, at the end of 2012, around that point. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, very good. Okay. All right, well, we are going to talk a little bit more with Will when we come back about his interest in Japan and how that came about, but we're going to go to our second song. And Will, what is the second song you've got picked out for us?
Yeah, the second song is called Chisana Inori, which is basically a little prayer. And it's a really moving song. If you can look up a translation sometime or just listen to it, it's beautiful, and it's like a hymn.
Oh, very good, very good. So here is the song, and we'll be right back after this.
Oh,
Will, so maybe you can tell us, how did you go from this this desire to be a part of a death metal band to this interest in Japan and Japanese culture and being willing to even move to that country? How did you go from that state to where you are now?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, huh? But well, from a young age, I was exposed to Japanese culture through things like the media. I used to watch like a lot of the dubbed Godzilla movies.
All right.
Pokemon was becoming really big in America. I had a bunch of cards. I did watch a lot of anime, and I was reading manga translated into English. And so I always had an interest in East Asian things. Like, I was just attracted to like the watercolor paintings, the way the language was written, these like pictures of like giant waterfalls and red bridges or like the colorful city streets filled with people and samurai and the food and just everything about it was just like fascinating to me when I was really young. But fast forward about a year or so after I became a Christian, I really felt like I should respond to the missionary call. And I really had a desire to reach those who have never heard the gospel. So I began learning more about missions. And I was watching DVDs. A great DVD series is Dispatchers from the Front with Tim Casey. Those are excellent. And so I was praying and I was even talking with others about it in my church. And that was really something on my heart. And so I looked at the top 10 most spoken languages in the world. It was a list at the time. Yeah. And I found Japanese to be number 9. Huh. I don't know if it's still on the list, but at that time, around 2013, at that time, it was number 9. And so it struck me. It really made sense to me. And I started researching more about Japan. I just wanted to open myself. I said, Lord, I have a desire for missions. I want to reach people who don't know you. And so I said, I'm open. And so I began researching, praying. And for some reason, Japan became, to me, it just became clearer. It made a lot of sense. I really developed a heart when I learned more about its spiritual condition and the state of the church here. And so I began sharing that with my church and praying. And that's where that interest developed.
Hmm. So how did you prepare? I mean, as you're getting this desire to move there, how did you prepare yourself to even think about moving over there to move to Japan? What did you do before you got there?
Yeah, well, immediately in the beginning, I began learning Japanese. That's just essential. And so,
how did you do that? Because you did that on your own.
Yeah, it was completely self-study.
So I remember you coming over and we're like comparing we had different apps of like flashcards for different languages.
That's right.
You had Japanese and I had like Hebrew or something like that I was working through.
I remember that. It was fun. In the beginning I was researching on Amazon when it comes to the language. And so I read the reviews of two books. One was just the writing systems, and then the other one was kanji, which is another part of the writing system because there's three. And so I started practicing those, writing those down. And then my brother had a Pimsleur listening CD set, and he gave that to me just at the right time. I had actually gone to visit my family for Thanksgiving, and I came right back. And then as soon as I got back, I just started listening to those CDs and writing in the book and practicing. And then I did find a few people that I could talk to. There's one lady in the church, and then some other people I just happened to meet in kind of random experiences, seemingly. And so from there, that was the first part, is the language. And then I also was doing a lot of research just online, just finding whatever I could, just learning about the culture, learning about Christianity here. I was watching some movies even from the library. They had like international section. I just wanted to get as much information as I could. Yeah. And actually one of the members in the church, when I shared it with the church, one of the members came up to me and said, "Hey, my brother lives in Japan. You should talk to him." And so it was just amazing how God worked that way and set it up for us to be able to meet. And then his name's Jesse. And so I began talking with him online, and actually we talked for a few years before I came. And he just filled me in with a lot of stuff, and we prayed together. And that was really helpful to have someone else here they can really share their own experience and help me prepare on the other end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are very providential means that God used to kind of prepare you there. It's, you know, at least I've found, I don't know if you found the same thing, but especially when you're trying to learn a language, you can't be afraid to just get, like, just mix it up, even if you don't know what you're doing, just to try it and be with other people who speak it.
I remember one time I was sitting at a Dunkin' Donuts practicing, and a Japanese couple walked in. And it's funny because I actually wasn't sure. I was trying to listen to them have a conversation.
Yeah.
And, it was, in a way, I guess, eavesdropping, but I was just trying to make sure if they were speaking Japanese or not. Mm-hmm. So once I felt like, okay, I think this is Japanese, I just went up to them and just in the most broken Japanese I had at the time, I said like, hello, and my name is William, you know, nice to meet you. What's your name? Yeah. and they were surprised that that happened.
Yeah.
And so it was just really cool. And then I met another guy at the same Dunkin' Donuts, ironically, and he actually taught me some Japanese.
Oh, wow.
So I just had to branch out and see risk, you know, take a risk and see who would respond.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, before you moved there, what did you anticipate would be the hardest adjustment you might have moving from, you know, especially a Kentucky culture in the U.S. to Japan?
Well, yeah, which isn't actually my hometown culture.
Yeah, that's right.
Central Northern Illinois, and so that was even a little bit different. But I think the main thing I remember staying overnight in the airport before I moved here, and getting ready to board the plane. And I remember the main thing that really gripped my heart was I'm leaving behind the abundance of fellowship that I have with close brothers and sisters. Mm. Also, the plentiful resources that there are in English, you know, with Christian literature and books and theology and just, you know, even just prayer meetings and all of these things that we have are so rich with in America. And I knew that I was going to have to relearn how to do everything in Japanese, the language in Japan, and just try to, and just trust God. I had to have faith and leave behind so much that I know God had provided for me in order to go on the mission.
Hmm. Were your family supportive of you guys, of you moving?
Say what?
Was your family supportive for you to move to Japan?
Yeah. My parents actually at the time were living in Kentucky and for a short period of time. And I think, you know, in a general way, I was more independent already, and I had an apartment and a job and car. And so it wasn't like a, no, you shouldn't go, or we're afraid for you. I think they probably felt a little better about Japan because it has a reputation of being very safe and stuff.
Yeah.
So from the beginning, I think they were very supportive.
Oh, very good. Well, we are talking with Will, who's called in from Japan, and we're going to talk more as we come back from our ads here in just a minute, just about the spiritual state of Japan and what being a Christian is like living there. But we will talk more about that right after the ads.